Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to make a presentation on the 10 Medinan surahs which comprise the second half of the sixth group of Quranic surahs. In the sixth group, as we have seen in the earlier presentation which was done on the first seven Meccan surahs of this group, this particular group of surahs is emphasizing more on the understanding of the life hereafter and the manner one should lead one's life in accordance with this understanding. And therefore, in the second half of this group, where we have 10 Medinan surahs, we find that the expectations of believing in the life hereafter and the manifestation of this belief in one's actions, one's practical life, is what is the central theme of all these surahs. So that the first surah of this series, Surah Al-Hadid, is describing towards the beginning of its presentation the attributes of the Almighty, which one should understand, know, and reflect upon. It is the understanding of the attributes of God that enable a believer to have a proper understanding of what is expected out of him. So that later in the surah, the believers are urged to spend their wealth and to spend and invest their energies for the sake of Allah in propagating His mission and in fighting against the enemies in jihad prior to the conquest of Mecca. Because those who would invest their energies and wealth in times of difficulty, like the times were before the conquest of Mecca, they are going to be rewarded far more heavily than the ones who are going to invest themselves and their wealth after the conquest of Mecca. In other words, in times when following Islam and following the requirements of the Almighty is much easier and simpler. The surah also urges the believers not to become a part of the hypocrites who on the day of judgment are going to regret the attitude and the behavior that they displayed and would seek help from the believers, asking them to give some part of the light that the Almighty has given to them to enable them also to follow the path that is laid out for them. But they will not get any light from the believers, because whatever light the believers would have in the hereafter would be the one that they had earned through their belief and through their good deeds in the worldly life. Surah Al-Hadid is followed by Surah Mujadila, which is requiring the believers to have proper faith and to not have any tendencies towards hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is generated within human heart as a consequence of unnecessary indulgence in assumptions. Assumptions about others, assumptions about the Prophet, assumptions about the fellow believers, which are negative, which are baseless. The Almighty also requires the believers to have a proper attitude towards fellow believers and to become a part of the Almighty's group, the Almighty's party, which is ultimately going to prevail. Surah Al-Mujadila is followed by Surah Al-Hashr, which is actually giving an understanding that the promise of the victory that the Almighty has given in Surah Al-Mujadila is something that is already visible to the believers through the events that were taking place right before their eyes. The example was given in this surah of the Jews, who a tribe of them were destroying their own homes and their own installations with their own hands. And this was a kind of an indication from the Almighty that the promise of the defeat and destruction of the enemies of Islam is around the corner, is a promise which is already underway for getting implemented. Surah Al-Hashr is also well known for the very moving description of the effectiveness of the Quran, wherein it is mentioned that if the Quran was to be revealed on mountains, those mountains would have been raised to ground and would have trembled because of the effect of the book that it has on others. And the understanding is quite obvious that if human heart has any inclination towards understanding the message of God, it would take a lot of effect and influence from the Quranic teachings and urgings. The end part of the surah is again a mention of the attributes of the Almighty, as were mentioned in the beginning of Surah Al-Hadid. It is followed by Surah Al-Mumtahina, which is requiring the believers to have the right kind of attitude towards polytheistic disbelievers who had not accepted the faith of the Almighty as presented by the Messenger of God, Allah's mercy be on him. And the believers have been required that they ought to not have any cordial relations with them, because it's a part of the requirement of faith that when one knows that there are people out there who are against the faith of the believers, then having warm relations with such people, even if they happen to be the relatives of the believers, is not something which is an expectation of the faith. Although it has been clarified that the Almighty is not asking the believers not to have good relations with those of the non-believers who did not turn against the message of Islam, but were quietly disagreeing with the Muslims. After Surah Mumtahina, we have Surah As-Saff, which is requiring the believers to come forward and get involved in the jihad that the Almighty requires them to undertake, along with the Messenger of Allah, who has come with a very clear verdict from the Almighty that his oncoming is going to herald the domination of the Muslims and the destruction of the disbelievers. An example has been given of Musa alayhi salam's companions who did not pay heed to the demand of jihad put across to them by the Almighty through his great messenger Musa alayhi salam. And the companions of Moses, they were not inclined to pay heed to what he was requiring them to do. And the end result was that their hearts got twisted and tainted. So that the believers have been warned that if they are going to behave likewise, their hearts are also likewise expected to be tainted. The Almighty also clarifies in this surah that he doesn't like people who make claims which they do not practice. So that the Quran says in Surah As-Saff, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Believers, why do you say things which you do not practice? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is something extremely abhorrent in the eyes of the Almighty. The Almighty hates the fact that you say something which you are not inclined to do. Later in the surah, the Almighty urges the believers to come ahead and to participate in jihad. That is going to result in the believers getting rewarded in the hereafter in the form of a paradise in which they will be given beautiful, luxurious homes and the blessings of the Almighty, which is what is the most important thing one should ever be looking forward to get. At the end of the surah, we have been given the example of the people who followed Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, and responded to his call when he asked them to become the Ansarullah, that is, the helpers of the Almighty in communicating the message of God and in enabling it to dominate over all other messages. After Surah As-Saff, we have Surah Al-Jumu'ah, which is a continuation of what was mentioned in Surah As-Saff. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah, the Almighty mentions that it's a great blessing of the Almighty on the people of Mecca and its surroundings, Al-Ummiyun, who were unlettered, who did not have any understanding of religion in the past. It's a blessing on them that the Almighty has sent a messenger from amongst them who recites the verses of the Almighty before them, and as a consequence of it, he enables them to get cleansed by Yuzakkihim. And this cleansing, purification is done through the process of communicating Kitab and Hikmah. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, that is the law of Islam, of Quran, and those aspects of religion which have to do with the understanding of the hereafter and the belief system, as well as the understanding of the moral principles which the Almighty, although has inculcated and instilled in human heart from the very beginning through birth, yet they get at times influenced by the circumstances and the surroundings, and therefore they need to be reminded, to be corrected, to be revived through the message sent by the Almighty through His messengers. Surah Jumu'ah also informs the believers that they should be very careful about taking the message of God seriously, because one of the earlier nations, and the reference is given of the Jews, they did not pay heed to what the Almighty was requiring them to do in His books, and the end result was that their example became the example of the donkeys, of a donkey who has on his back loads of books but doesn't realize as to what exactly is he carrying on his back. The Almighty also mentions that the people who turned against the Almighty's message from amongst the Jews were the ones who, although claim lofty credentials and rewards in the hereafter for them, yet the fact of the matter is that they do not have even a slight inclination to meet God Almighty, and they are the ones who are the most greedy as far as this worldly life is concerned. Ask them to look forward to having death for them to come to them quickly, and you will find that they would not be desirous of death, because they know what they have sent for the future towards the Almighty in the form of their beliefs and in the form of their actions. And in the end of the surah, the Almighty is requiring the believers not to follow the footsteps of the Jews who did not pay heed to the commandments of the Almighty, particularly in the case of Sabbath laws. And the alternative of the Sabbath law in the form of Jumu'ah prayers is what the Muslims are required to do. And the surah asks the believers to pay heed to the call of Jumu'ah and not get involved in activities like playing around at the time of Jumu'ah or getting involved in trade, which is something that some of the Muslims, weak Muslims, had been doing at the time of the revelation of the Quran. After admonishing those weak Muslims, we have the next surah, Surah Al-Munafiqun, which describes the attitude of the hypocrites. And the link between the two surahs seems that if one is inclined to ignore the message of God and its expectations, it might lead one to hypocrisy and to the complete weakening of faith in the form of the elimination of it and the replacement of it by unfaith and disbelief, and therefore hypocrisy. The hypocrites used to make loud claims that they believed in the messenger of God. The fact of the matter is, the Quran says that they had used their oath, their vows, as something that would protect them from the allegations and criticisms of the Muslims. And that is why they are trying to make claims to be having faith in the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him. Such hypocrites are non-believers. They are not inclined to have any interest in the message sent by the Almighty. When they are asked to seek forgiveness, they do not seek forgiveness. And they are the ones who are the real enemies of the believers. The Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, has been informed quite clearly that even if he seeks forgiveness for these hypocrites, the Almighty is not going to listen to any of his prayers, because the Almighty would never forgive hypocrites who are not inclined to seek forgiveness themselves. Thereafter, the Almighty mentions that these hypocrites are bent upon destroying the Muslims and creating mischief and disunity amongst them. And they believe that if the believers are going to be broken into factions and groups, it is going to cause the message of Islam and the strong group of Muslim community to be disintegrated. The Almighty says that this is not going to be allowed to happen, and those who believe that their wealth is going to come to their rescue ought to know that all wealth and all good name and credit belongs to Allah and His Messenger and the believers. Finally, the surah requires the believers to always remember God and to spend in His way before death overtakes them and the possibility of them functioning in the right manner anymore. After Surah Al-Munafiqun, we have Surah At-Taghabun, which is describing the expectations of faith and is mentioning the fact that the real life and the real success and failure are going to be witnessed in the hereafter. This life of ours is a trial, and the next life is a life of real success, real glory, and real doom and failure. So that the believers would do well to make sure that they concentrate on this life as by taking it as a trial and making sure that the life hereafter is what is the focus of their attention. So that the Quran mentions that this life and the children and the wives, they are all a trial. And it is Allah with whom you have, O believers, true rewards. It also mentions that the believers are the ones who have full trust in God Almighty. And no matter whatever difficulty, whatever adversity falls upon a believer, he has full faith in God and he does not lose heart because of the difficulties of life. The Almighty also informs believers that at times it can happen that Muslims, believers, children and his family may turn into his enemies. But one should still continue to look after those people who, despite being close relatives, are strongly inclined towards criticizing Islam and making true believers their enemies. Finally, the Almighty mentions that believers ought to spend in the way of Allah, and Allah Almighty is going to make sure that their spending in the way of Allah will be rewarded by not only rewards in the hereafter, but also by faith and strength in this life. Finally, the last two surahs of this group are Surah At-Talaq and Surah At-Tahrim. Surah At-Talaq is talking about that aspect of trial of human beings wherein the excessive hatred that one sometimes finds in one's heart against one's spouse, one's wife, is expressed in the form of giving divorce to the other partner. Although the emotions are high, although the grudge and the misunderstanding is deep, yet the Almighty wants that the believers, if they believe in God and the hereafter, they ought to make sure that even in the case where the disputes go as high as requiring a man to divorce his wife, he should still make sure that this situation does not incline him to go against the dictates of the Almighty, and the laws of divorce ought to be respected. The wife has to be kept within the home of the individual who has divorced her for the period of waiting, the period of iddat. And this is something which is going to show that the believer truly respects the Almighty's law. Finally, Surah Tahreem is talking the other extreme that one may have in one's life with regard to attitude towards families, and that is that one loves one's wife and children so much that one gets inclined to at times ignore God Almighty's laws. So that the Almighty in this particular surah says that believers should make sure that no amount of inclination towards one's family and love for them should incline the believer to not take his religion seriously and to be disinclined towards following the expectations of the Almighty. The Almighty says that believers must make sure that they are saving themselves and their families from the fire of hell, so that they should create within their homes an environment wherein they are urging their family members to become true Muslims and to take God's religion seriously. And God Almighty has clarified towards the end of this surah that on the day of judgment, it is not one's relations with somebody else that is going to count. It is one's faith and right attitude, right approach in life that is going to enable believers to be successful in the hereafter. The examples are given of the wives of two great prophets, Nuh and Lut alayhimus salam. Although those wives were the wives of two great husbands, yet since they were disbelievers, their relationship with their husbands will not enable them to enter the paradise. In fact, they would be consigned to the hell because of their wrong attitude. On the other hand, the wife of Pharaoh, is also mentioned, who despite being the wife of a big enemy of the Almighty and his messenger, since her own attitude was positive and good, and she would continue to pray to the Almighty to enable her to be steadfast in faith and to enable her to follow a path that would enable her to have a house close to the Almighty in the paradise, her attitude would be rewarded abundantly by the Almighty despite her relationship, very close relationship with her husband who was the enemy of God. And the example of Mary alayhi salam has also been given, who had a very good family, and herself she was a very obedient servant of the Almighty, and she is also going to be fully and completely rewarded. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand the Quran and its message properly, and may He enable us to follow it to the best of our abilities.